Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Hay, Chapter 5. With Perek Hay comes a new approach to wake the Jewish people up to do teshuvah. It's a tactic that others in Tanakh have used, that of a mashal, a parable. Rebbetzin Heller explains that the function of a parable is to use outer reality as a vehicle for inner reality. Sometimes it is hard to look at ourselves honestly and admit our inner reality. A parable or story, when not obviously about us, allows us to look more objectively at the characters and seep in the messages more slowly and ultimately more sincerely. Ashira nal yedidi, shirat odila karmo, kerem hayal yedidi, bekeren ben shaman. I will sing a song for my beloved, the song of my beloved for his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. The word Dodi is mentioned three times in the Pasuk, allusions most notable from Shir HaShirim. The optimistic, loving tone in the first Pasuk draws the listeners in. Singing, love, vineyards, fertile ground, the stage for a positive message is set. The listener is open to hearing. This gardener had to prepare the soil, remove stones, planted the best vines, and build a watchtower inside it. He even made a wine press because he hoped it would yield grapes. Instead, however, it produced be'ushim, sour grapes or wild berries. The tone suddenly changed from optimism and idealism to disappointment. V'ata yoshev Yerushalayim v'ish Yehuda. Shiftuna beini ubein karmi. Now the people of Yerushalayim and Yehuda are being asked to act as judges here between the vineyard and its owner. This is an educational tool, which we see in other places in Tanakh. Including the audience in judging the characters in the parable makes the people feel empowered and respected for their opinion, but also gives them a chance to form a reaction, how they view things in this parable, as they are still unaware it's about them. Using the questioning tactic involves the audience to figure out the solution. In short, the audience is engaged. What else could I have done for my vineyard to make it produce the kinds of luscious grapes I intended? Before giving the people a chance to share their opinions, the Navi continues. Ve'ata odiana etchem, et asher ani oseh lekarmi. Now I am going to tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Haser misukato, v'haya leva'er parot gedeiro v'haya lemirmas. I will remove its hedge, that it may be ravaged. I will break down its wall, that it may be trampled. And I will make it a desolation. It shall not be pruned or weeded, and it will be overgrown with briars and thistles. Atzaveh mehamtir alav matar. I will command the clouds not to rain. At this point, the nimshal is starting to become clear. At the very least, the audience realizes the planter is Hashem. Who else can dictate whether clouds do or do not rain? Finally, Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Yeshayahu explicitly states, Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael, v'ish Yehuda. Nita Sha'ashu'av. For the vineyard of Hashem is the house of Israel, and the people of Yehuda are the plant of his joy. In other words, the vineyard is the Jewish people. Vayikav lemishpat, vihine mispach. Letztaka, vihine tzaka. He hoped for justice, and behold, there was injustice. For righteousness, and behold, an outcry. Notice the beautiful linguistic nuance there. Hashem hoped for mishpat, but got mispach. He hoped for tzedakah, but got tzaaka. Many other prophets have used grapes and vineyards to describe the Jewish people. But why? There are three distinct aspects to a vineyard. Number one, land choice. You can't plant a vineyard just anywhere like you can with other plants and vegetables. Number two, the work involved is quite different. A vineyard needs more attention and work than a typical field of vegetables. More specialized steps and procedures are required. Number three, the product. Aside from grapes being a precious product, Trees are self-contained, while vineyards spread. There are no clear or defined boundaries. So too with the Jewish people. Number one, land choice. The Jewish people flourish much more successfully in the lands of Israel. We know, Avira Machkim, even the air makes the people smarter. I recently heard Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz refer to the lands of Israel as the Jewish people's natural habitat. What a wonderful way to depict our relationship with the lands of Israel. Number two, the work involved. The avoda of Torah and mitzvot are essential for the blossoming of the Jewish people. Just as the owner of the vineyard personally tends to the vineyard, Hashem himself gave the Jewish people the Torah and mitzvot, giving the tools for the Jewish people to actualize their potential. And number three, the product. If the Jewish people are ashamed of their Judaism and neglect Torah, they will produce be'ushim, unimpressive grapes. Phonetically, be'ushim is from the word busha, shame. Interestingly, these be'ushim look like anavim. From the outside, they look like grapes. It's hard to differentiate the two. It is only once you taste them that you can tell the difference. This is exactly what was happening during Yeshayahu's time. People walked the walk and talked the talk, and it was hard to notice that internally they were disconnected from Hashem and Torah. On the other hand, like a vineyard, when the Jewish people are connected, they produce well, and, like a vineyard, there is no limit to their success. There are no natural boundaries that a Jew can accomplish. The tower Hashem planted in the center of the vineyard is, of course, the Beis HaMikdash, which was meant to influence the people positively and enrich them spiritually, keeping away harmful influences and practices. In Psukim 8 through 23, Yeshayahu introduces six messages with the word Oi. Number one, Oi to the wealthy people who bought out the homes of all the poor people and combines the two homes to make larger homes. But since people are being exiled, these huge homes will be left empty, massive without anyone living there. Number two, Oi to the people who wake up early and go to bed late drinking wine. Wine is reflective of overall indulgences. Ve'it po'al Hashem lo yabitu u'ma'aseh yadav lo ra'u. They don't notice the actions of Hashem, and they don't see his hands in events. Rashi believes this to mean people are not learning Hashem's Torah or acknowledging his presence in nature. The Rambam teaches that if you want to find God, one should look at nature. He writes in his book, Mora Nevuchim, The Guide for the Perplexed, study the science of nature, what he calls Mada Teva, if you want to comprehend the science of God, what he calls Mada Elokut. Hashem reveals himself to us in two ways, nature and his Torah. But here, the people are refusing to pay attention to the godliness in either. Number three, Oi to those who do not have the power to overcome their desires, even when they intellectually know right from wrong. Number four, Oi to those who misled people and perverted good and evil, light and dark, sweet and bitter. Five, Oi to those who are chachamim be'inehem, wise in their own eyes, despite their total ignorance on various issues, v'neged p'nehem nivonim, even in the face of those who are actually knowledgeable. Six, Oi to those whose bribery led down to a breakdown of the law. Pasuk Tedvav 15 once again quotes words he expressed in chapter 2. Vayishach Adam, Vayishpal Ish. Humanity has become bent, man is lowered. Essentially, man is falling short of his potential. Pasuk Tetzayin, verse 16, expresses the words we say in Shmona Esrei on both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Vayigba Hashem Tzvakot Bamishpat, Vahel Hakadosh Nikdash Bitztaka, and Hashem is elevated in justice. The Holy Almighty God has become sanctified through mild justice. Mishpat is strict judgment, versus tzedakah, which is a more generous and charitable judgment. We daven that Hashem bring mishpat, strict judgment to evil people, and tzedakah, charitable judgment to those who try to do teshuva. Hashem's greatness is highlighted in the fact that he will forgive someone and eradicate previously done actions because of teshuva, actions that violated what he asked from them. Teshuva is a remarkable thing. In our parak, Yeshayahu is trying to wake the people up to do teshuva, remind them of the power they hold in their hands to literally make a clean slate for themselves. But this is certainly appropriate for our tefillos on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, where, despite our best attempts to do teshuva, we rely on Hashem's mercy. Yeshayahu refers to the Jewish people as sheep in the next pasuk. How interesting that over and over again on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we are called Hashem's flock. A shepherd has love and shows personal care for each sheep. Every person's individual attempt at teshuva and self-improvement is noticed by the shepherd. He has a relationship with each individual, shepherding them towards greatness. If only the sheep would reciprocate in turn. The parak ends with a devastating prophecy. Once this precious vineyard is left without Hashem's protection, enemies will take over. The Jewish people, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash, with incredibly fierce attacks and relentless energy. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.